embracing what you know, evolving a business plan around your strengths, and then working your ass off every second. Those are the foundations. It's very basic stuff, but it's pure reality.
Welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast, featuring the latest strategies and techniques to drive traffic to your website and convert that traffic into clients. Now, here's the founder and CEO of 10 Golden Rules, Jay Berkowitz.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever time this podcast finds you, welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. Today, we're going to play some classic audio recorded on a prior podcast with two of the world's most famous celebrities. We interviewed Gary Vaynerchuk when he worked in his father's wine store. I sat down with Gary to talk about how to make great video content, how to make it go viral, building a personal brand, how to hustle, and how to know what you're really good at. And in the same classic podcast, I interviewed Mike Shinoda. Mike is in the band Linkin Park. They've sold over 100 million records worldwide. We talked about the early days of selecting the name for the brand so it could work in digital, how they built their digital presence, and a call he got from then Vice President Al Gore to play at Live Earth. Sadly, his lead singer, Chester Bennington, passed away in 2017. The band hasn't gotten back out on the road ever since, but this is amazing classic content. So we'll go right live into the interview with Gary V, followed by Mike Shinoda, and then we'll play the song that Mike talked about from Live Earth. Enjoy. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you like this content. And thank you for listening to the 10 Golden Rules of Online Marketing for Law Firms podcast. I'm excited today to be here with Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary manages his family's wine business. He's the host of Wine Library TV and has his own video cast. He recently appeared on everyone from Ellen DeGeneres, CNN, Conan O'Brien, Jim Cramer's Mad Money, and he's really exploding in the social media space. He's the keynote speaker here at Affiliate Summit tomorrow. On and on and on, but he's really become the guy in social media. So, Gary, thanks for doing this, and welcome to the 10 Golden Rules podcast.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the interest.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this stuff.
Well, I was born in Russia, in Belarus specifically, and my family immigrated to the U.S. in 78. My dad got a job as a stock boy in a liquor store, and then eventually manager, and then eventually part owner. He got me involved in the liquor business. And when I was a teenager, I decided I wanted to get involved in the family wine business. And then I started realizing the internet was coming around. I launched winelibrary.com in 1997. That went real well, and I grew a $3 million store into a $50 million company from 1998 to 2005. And then in 2005, I started seeing a shift in the way online interaction was happening. It became a lot more social. And since I'm totally driven by people, I wanted to get involved. And so when I saw what was going on with Zay Frank, the show, and Amanda Condit with Rocket Boom and all that jazz, I decided that I really, really wanted to be a part of that. And so I launched Wine Library TV in 2006, slowly but surely built that up to getting some street cred. And then in 2007, I launched GaryVaynerchuk.com, started talking about the business foundation of how I built Wine Library TV. And that's what I did.
Congratulations. Great
Thanks.
Story.
Thanks.
Talk about some of those building blocks. How can people do some of these things? And from two perspectives, I talk about a term called personal branding.
Sure.
And you've definitely built your personal brand and built the Wine Library TV brand.
Yep. You know, I think it's about embracing your DNA. I think the biggest mistake people do out there is try to be somebody they're not. I think if you look in the mirror and you really are honest with yourself, you will recognize that you are who you are and you've got strengths and you've got weaknesses. I didn't try to do a science blog. You know, I wasn't going to kill it in the science sphere. So I think first and foremost, you've got to decide who you are. For example, I'm not a good writer. So hence, no Gary Vaynerchuk 2002 to 2004 on the internet. Blogging was not going to be in the cards. I had to be patient, had to watch it evolve, waited for video to come. That was more of a natural play for me. You know, that kind of stuff. So I think first it starts with your DNA. Second, it's hustle. You've got to work your ass off. This is not minor leagues. You're not going to listen to this podcast right now, hear something I say, and you're going to be able to insert that into a machine and make millions of dollars. It's not going to happen. Don't spend $10,000 on any courses. None of that shit is going to help you. It's embracing what you know, evolving a business plan around your strengths, and then working your ass off every second. Those are the foundations. It's very basic stuff, but it's pure reality. I mean, you've got to really know what you're good at, and if you're not good at certain things, you really shouldn't knock your head against the wall. You need to just kind of shrug that off, move on, and go to something you are good at.
So you say work your ass off. Give people some basic stuff. Like a lot of times on the show, I give them basic steps.
Yep. So in detail, I'm very big on interacting with your community. So even if you have a blog of one person, talk that person 30 times a day. Just pound that person. I mean, that is your community, right, at that point. I think what you really need to realize is that it takes a lot of effort to engage with your community. I spend about 11 to 12 hours a day engaging with my community, answering email, searching my name on Twitter, interacting, getting RSS feeds from interactions around my name, whether they're Google alerts or things of that nature. I think these are very imperative points. I think it's about having the right balance of content to interaction. And I think too many people spend time on their content and not enough time on marketing and interaction. You could build the greatest plane in the world, but if nobody's ever heard of it or seen it, or you've never showed it or told anybody about it, it will stay the greatest plane that nobody ever knew. Probably the 30 best television shows ever made got canceled in the first season. So marketing is imperative. And the way
it's
you
the
market...
same thing with websites.
Absolutely.
Like one of my 10 golden rules is if you build it, they won't just come. That premise is that 99-2000, companies spent millions and millions of dollars building these incredible technologies.
Sure.
And then they didn't have the wherewithal or the know-how to market them and bring them to market.
You have to. You have to be able to bring them to market. That is the absolute fundamental backbone of success. Marketing is what makes things happen. It's what brings people to the game. Unless you're skilled to recognize that or have a skill set in it or have the ability to hire somebody with a skill set. I'm much more proud of the way I built Wine Library TV behind the scenes, getting involved in forums around wine, leaving blog posts on every wine blog out there, using Facebook, using Twitter, than I am that I'm the front man and get the fame of that. So the business part of me, the business development, the manager part of me is far more thrilled than the celebrity part of me in the success of the show.
So what are some more of those building blocks when you say...
Use the tools.
Went on Twitter, went on Facebook.
When I wake up here...
Dumb it down for people.
Dumb it down.
What do they do? Like someone wants to start today and be Gary Vee.
Well, first of all, thank you. First of all, they're not going to be Gary Vee. They need to be Johnny Thompson or Susie, you know. But if they want to follow my blueprint, here's my blueprint. I wake up every morning and I read TechCrunch.com to see if there's any new websites launched that mean anything. When Twitter was built and I saw it, to me that looked like the fax machine when there wasn't one. Oh crap, here's this new tool and I know how to use it. I'm always looking for tools to extend my brand. Understand what tools work for you, whether it is a blogging platform, whether it is AOL Instant Messenger. Listen, I blast out on Twitter, hey, I'm going on AIM, who wants to talk? 200 people pop up, 500 people pop up in my AIM in 2 seconds and I give them that connection. Everybody thinks that's so not scalable. But it's a different experience. If everybody did scalable stuff, nobody would have a differentiator. So use tools that help you extend your brand and your message, whether that's a Facebook fan page, whether that's Twitter, whether that's the defunct Pounce, whether it's a blogging mechanism, MySpace, Orkut, Bebo. You can really run the gamut. The fundamental blueprint, dumbing it down, is understand that there are tools and you have to use them. Really, that's the game. Whether it's a flip cam, whether it's this little recorder thing you're using right now, whether it's a website, it's the tools of communication that connect into your audience about what you want to sell is the whole game. What you want to sell is what you need to find first. And that's a problem for a lot of people. There's a lot of people walking around and have no idea what their business is. They don't have a tangible thing to sell. You know this, a lot of pretenders out there walking around saying they're social media marketing experts. Great, fine, but then you've got to sell yourself. You've got to really define if you're selling yourself, you're selling a product, you're selling a service, you're selling a conference. Define what you're selling to anybody who's listening to this.
And if you don't have something to sell,
create something to sell.
The show we're at, the Affiliate Summit Show, you can sell other people's stuff.
Of course. To sell other people's stuff, you've got to create a destination. A lot of people play the SEO game, right? They'll buy an AdWord for less than it costs them to convert. God bless, mathematicians. I love them. I can't do that kind of math.
Arbitrage.
Right.
Paid search arbitrage.
God bless them. They found a niche. To me, that can go away. And to me, I'd rather build brand
equity.
Yeah,
I think Google's shutting that down wherever they can, so it is going away.
There you go. I mean, I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, you're right. No. So,
to me, building a brand never loses. I mean, listen, McDonald's hasn't done something right for 30 years. They're still around, right? There's so many people that haven't done anything right for 50 years and are still winning.
They're having a great year.
I mean,
this is McDonald's year.
Well, you're right. I mean, look at Microsoft. Economy. Microsoft hasn't done a damn right thing for 15 years and are still winning because they built up such a brand and such a business. I think once you can build brand equity, I mean, look at Davy Jones from the Monkees. He hasn't done an important thing in 47 years. He's still getting paid to do commercials because for 5 minutes he meant something. build brand equity. MC Hammer had a couple hit songs, and we still care about him here on social media. Everybody's pumped to have him as a follower. I think that people need to recognize that brand equity trumps all. Create brand equity while you create your business. Find what you can execute against, and interact with as many people as possible, because word of mouth is what builds business. But the problem is, there's a lot of people who are on Twitter and who understand this that have not figured out what their business is. And that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I'm going to speak about tomorrow. Figure out the hell you're selling.
Talk about that new evolution. Gary, the speaker, the keynote speaker.
You know, that becomes an extension of opportunity. I think what happens is that I got a break and got to speak at one event. I did a really, really good job at this talk. Everybody went wild. A lot of people Twittered about it. This is where word of mouth on steroids means a whole lot. Everybody said I rocked the house. I came with my passion, my thunder, my natural DNA. And then more and more people started to ask me to speak. You know, I think my keynote at Web 2.0 in New York last year was a big home run. And I think people have started to realize, as they paid attention to me off those keynotes and looked at GaryVaynerchuk.com, that sure, I come with a lot of passion, a lot of hunger, but I'm very true to myself, and I know who I am, and I execute against my DNA, and I've been successful, and I know how to sell. And, you know, I think that when you are yourself and you garnish results, people respect that. I think everybody wants that at some level. I sure do. I very much appreciate when I see somebody be themselves and are able to be successful. I think that's very, very admirable. I think that's what's been my connection, that people have realized I'm very real.
You've killed it in video. Video is becoming incredibly important, both for social media, also for conversion on websites. Can you give us some basic tips for video, both the shooting and then also the viraling of it, making it?
One shoe doesn't fit all. So for me, I believe that you should never edit. I've never taken a second take of Wine Library TV. I want it to be real. If they want polish, they can go to television and all the other 9,000 douchebag video bloggers out there that do it. So I just think you have to be yourself. So maybe you are a perfectionist and you need it perfectly polished and you want all the streamers and the fireworks going off. God bless you. Knock yourself out. Rule number one, make it cozy for you. For me, cozy is sit down, bang it out, get the hell out. I think the way you make it viral is all the other time you have to spend on it.
And the listeners of this podcast can appreciate the unedited.
Yeah, I mean,
and cozy and bang it out, because that's all we have time for.
I think that what's imperative is for people to understand that you need a lot of time for a site to get traction. The content needs to be great, but it doesn't have to be long, and it doesn't have to take you a long time. The beauty of Wine Library TV and GaryVaynerchuk.com is I bang it out in one shot, and then I spend all the rest of my time building up virality, I guess is what you call it. You know, I Twitter it out, I Facebook it out, I do all the jazz. But I think at the end of the day, if your content is awesome and if it's good, people will come. There's nothing you could do if you got bullcrap to get people excited. You
can bring up, king, listen, and you can't replicate crap.
I can bring 9 million people to a place, but if once they get to that place they hate it, I'm done. I'm a one and out. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Talk to me a little bit about the basic shooting. So you're just shooting on a basic background with lots of New York Jets paraphernalia in the background.
God. Anybody that's listening to this, just go to winelibrarytv.com. They'll see there's no thrills or gadgets. One take. It's my office. I mean, there's, you know, I've got a blank wall. I mean, we're not trying to do anything cute there. It's very basic.
And you light it up. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's boba.
How about in the early days, though? Like when you, did you get it to spread a little bit?
I didn't.
Like, you worked hard, though.
I worked hard. I mean, listen.
You Facebooked and Twittered and you...
I became part of my community. I left comments in wine blogs. I left comments in wine forums. And that was it. You know, I just kind of just became part of the community and just weathered the storm, kind of, right? I just pumped out content.
Stuck with it and you knew.
I just pumped out content. I did 5 days a week for a year and a half and nobody gave a shit. You know what? That's hard. That's real hard. But I kind of knew I was onto the right thing. And I knew that this day would come where people cared and they knew it was right. And it was very hard in 2006 to weather that storm. Here we are in 2009. It's a different story. And so I just persevered. I Rocky Balboa'd in the mountains of Russia carrying a wheelbarrow on my head until it paid off. You know what I mean? I mean, that's, you know, while Drago did steroids and all that good jazz, Rocky was picking up wheelbarrows full of people in the mountains of Russia. And that's kind of how I look at what I did.
You know, there's got to be some of our listeners who are thinking, okay, it's an internet marketing podcast, but I need some wine tips.
Sure.
So I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you.
Argentina is on fire. I think people should be looking at Malbec in reds and Tarantas in white. Most people just said, what the hell did he just say? Tarantas, T-O-R-R-E-N-T-E-S. Really, really, really good white varietal from Malbec. From Argentina that rivals Pinot Grigio. Great $10 wine. I think that Portugal's on fire. $7 to $8 wines from Portugal are amazing. I'm very into them. I highly recommend people looking at Portugal. I think they bring the thunder. $7 to $8 wines from Douro, D-O-U-R-O. And I would say Côte d'Aron. I'm a very big fan of the Rhone Valley in France. Still, $8 to $12, you can get a whole lot of value.
I went cycling a million years ago, and I've never gone wrong with a wine from the Beaune region. B-E-A-U-N-E.
That's Burgundy. So you drank 100% Pinot Noir or Chardonnay, depending if you're red or white.
Red.
Great area.
That's my red.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you
it's
know,
never let me down for years. And
yeah, I mean, Burgundies have gotten expensive, especially when you get into some of the serious stuff. But I'm with you. I mean, I just adore Burgundy.
I always found if I could find Bone on the label, it could be $12 or $30 bucks, and it was a winner, and
that's
everyone
nice.
Was happy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm a big Bone fan.
Let's start with social media.
Yep.
How do people get started? How do they get into play? And
first thing I tell people is go to popurls.com. I'm a big fan of that site, popurls.com. I think it's a snapshot of the important sites on the internet, all the important voices. I think it's a great place to go and click around and listen and read all the different variety of voices in the space. Social media is not a magic trick. You know, it's not like all of a sudden if you use social media, you'll be a business superstar. Social media is just the extension of marketing and branding in a place where the gatekeepers have been taken away. So I hate when people get really excited about, oh my God, I'm in social media, I'm a genius. You're not a genius. You're maybe slightly ahead of a curve of platforms that people are going to use. I think that anybody who's been a traditional moneymaker or marketer or brander and has been successful is going to dominate in social media because it helps them extend their voice even louder and further. The way you get started is the same way you get started in any business. You just read up on it, you get into the trenches, you intern, you read, you hustle, you work, and you start figuring out what clicks and what works. I don't even know what social media means. I don't even understand what it completely embraces. I just know this is business.
How about some personal brand building tips?
I think that the only way to be successful as a personal brand is to be yourself 100% of the time. I know that I'm over the top. I know when I start Wine Library TV with, hello everybody and welcome to Wine Library. I know that part right there probably eliminates 13 to 14% of my viewership. I can see the stats right off the bat. Who's this annoying guy? I'm out. I respect that. But it's me. I get excited. That boast of energy is really what gets me excited when I get going with the show, and I need that. I just think it's imperative to be yourself. I think by looking at stats and by reading other people's tips, you're making a huge mistake. You embrace who you are, because this way, when you meet people in person, you don't have to put on a front. It's very easy to be yourself. It's exhausting to act. And even if your personality may be introverted or too extroverted, I think embracing that completely is imperative and very important and really enables people to be successful. And by the way, I think that's the only thing you need to do. And I mean it. If you're completely yourself the whole time and you embrace who you are and you're true to yourself and you really, really are uninhibited and just don't care, and that's a tough thing to do, but you know, pulling that cool high school move where you don't care about everybody else, that's a very powerful thing, because then you don't have to adjust and you just execute. And when you spend time thinking about what other people think or whatever people are doing and this and that, you're taking away from time of taking care of the audience and the people who do like you. And I think that's a very dangerous time sucker.
You're speaking tomorrow. What are you going to talk about?
Like I said before, I'd like to talk about people knowing their business model. But the fact of the matter is, anytime I speak, I have no idea what I'm speaking about. I really do no prep work.
I'm so jealous.
I have no slides.
I've spent about 20 hours on my presentation for Affiliate Summit.
Yeah,
And I'm going to kill it, too, in a different way.
I'm sure.
But everyone's going to come away talking about Gary Vee.
You know, that's genetics,
the people
right?
who see my stuff are going to learn a lot. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm sure. I think that... You know, it's one of my gifts. I'm lucky that way. I'm just going to speak from the heart. This is something I live and breathe. And I'm very fortunate that I've been gifted with a really good talent of communicating. It's probably what's made me successful on the video blogging. You know, listen, I want to be LeBron James, but I wasn't gifted with that skill. I can't dunk a ball from 40 feet away, right? So the fact of the matter is that I'm executing against my gift, which is a analogy-driven, I can break things down to a simplicity, I'm a good communicator, I can tell good stories, and that kind of, that's my strength, that's why I probably...
Part of it's learned, though, like you said, for a year and a half, five times a week, you sat down and recorded
sure,
some
no
stuff,
doubt about it. Listen,
now you can get up on stage and wing it and
execute
against that.
You know what? I've always been from the heart. I do feel like that some of it is learned, but I'm a big believer in finding your niche and just driving it home. When you find out the thing that God gave you better than anybody else or in the top thing, whatever it may be, I mean, I feel like somebody listening to this right now could be one of the greatest chess players of all time. They just don't know. And I think, you know, you got to go through life trying to explore and taste and do different things, because if you stumble on the thing that you dominate in, It's almost like think back to your childhood. What were you good at as a kid? Find that and just do that.
How do you think you help people find it? Because I always say follow your passion. You know, what do you love? What do you love reading? What do you love
doing? People who are scared to tell you the truth. Somebody might not want to tell you that they're the best ballerina dancer, or they always found themselves, they have a great eye for dresses. What about a cool dude who doesn't want to tell you that he'd probably be a fashion diva?
Yeah.
I think people are embarrassed or don't want to be good at maybe something they were gifted at. So I think it's about letting go and truly being honest with yourself. Most people lie to themselves.
They do what they think they should be doing.
I think most people lie to themselves and don't have the self-esteem to just listen to their hearts instead of listening to their parents, teachers, or compadres. And I think that letting that go and executing is a very powerful opportunity.
I have two final questions.
Sure.
You mentioned news sites and looking for the new Twitter. What new stuff's Gary using? And the second thing is, what blogs are you reading, what podcasts, who are you following on Twitter?
On Twitter, basically, I search my name all day long. Because I want to answer the people that want my answer. So between that and getting 1,000 emails a day, I really am just interacting with my community more than absorbing, which is probably bad. You know, I'm definitely out of the realm a little bit. The only thing I read every day is TechCrunch. I rarely consume any other media. Pretty much I'm down to TechCrunch and Gossip Girl on TV.
It's good, isn't it?
I love it.
Okay, here's two macho guys, and we admit it. We love it.
I'm very authentic
about it. Gossip Girl's great.
I'm all about it. And so that's what I'm down to and reading new sites. Nothing has really sparked my interest lately. I do continue to love to Ustream and live stream. I love that interaction with my audience and my my fan base out there. But the fact of the matter is right now, you know, I'm excited about Facebook maybe altering itself a little bit and opening up itself a little bit more because right now it's a little closed for me. I've got 17,000 pending friends, so I'm not able to execute on Facebook as much as I'd like. But other than that, that's really kind of the, I mean, I'm very limited right now. I mean, I really...
Who are you following on Twitter?
There's nobody that, you know, I don't want to be a
jerk.
I mean,
this sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be a douchebag and say, oh my God, nobody.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got to be truthful, and the fact of the matter is nobody, you know, because I've spent all my time interacting. I'm reacting to my community every minute, and that's probably a big loss for Gary Vaynerchuk.
You're following your followers.
I'm following my followers.
Well, this is awesome. Thanks a lot for doing this, Gary.
Thanks for summing that last part up. You nailed it. I appreciate it. I hope everybody who listened to this got something out of it. You know, guys, I just want to say one thing. We can go into detail all day long. You're all more than welcome to fly to New Jersey and watch me for a full day. I'll even buy you a cup of coffee to hang out all day because it's 18 hours of pure madness. But the fact of the matter is, it's just hard work and it's just caring and it's not that complicated. And I hope you guys all go out and crush it. Thank you.
Tell me the story you told about the importance of changing the band's name to get a domain name.
Absolutely, absolutely. In the beginning, we were called by a couple other different names, and at a certain point, we needed to settle on the name of the band. We needed to find our real name, and this was at a time, band started around 96. The time when we were making this decision was around 98, 99. And at this point in time, the internet had not blown up. The MP3 was virtually non-existent. It existed, but nobody knew about it. And it was just starting to happen. Napster was not around yet. And people had just switched from pagers to cell phones. Our mailing list at our shows was probably more than half snail mail because that half of the people didn't have email addresses yet.
No MySpace yet.
Yeah, that goes without saying. We didn't have Apple GarageBand either.
Yeah.
Lucky for us, we have some guys in the band, myself included, that had a pretty good feeling that the internet was going to be really important. And we decided that we would, well, when we finally decided on the name Linkin Park, it was the presidential spelling. It was LINCOLN. And we went online and tried to find LinkinPark.com. That was taken. .org, .net, taken. Everything taken. And we said, you know what? We want .com. That's priority number one. To have a good name, it has to be, you have to have a good home, too, you know, that's easy to find and people know where to go. And so we literally changed the band name to LINKINPARK so we could get the .com. That's how important it was to us back in, you know, 99.
It's amazing foresight at that time to know the internet was going to be as important.
Thank you. We love to pat ourselves in the back, but to be honest, it was just a feeling, and we lucked out. You know, it did come true, and we definitely, at this point, are happy that it's so easy to find us on the web. And you know, I say that to a lot of bands, that it could not be more important the name you choose for your business, for your band, for whatever it may be, if it's your blog, if it's you're selling something, your product, the name is everything, you know? If a name is misleading, people get the wrong impression, they're not going to be interested in it. If you can sum up what your thing is, what it's about, the promise you make to your fan.
So important.
In a way that it all just kind of comes together and it's consistent in that one name, then you are so far ahead of the pack at that point that people will have a hard time catching up.
Just allow me one fan moment. I think the live recording at Live Earth last year was my favorite song of the year.
Wow, thank you very much. That was exciting. We played in Tokyo and it was just like, I've never seen an indoor venue that was so big, and knowing it was going out to potentially tens of millions of people everywhere around the world was just like, we were actually nervous, which we don't really get nervous anymore.
Yeah, it's fun when that happens once in a while.
Yeah.
How do you guys, how did you get involved with Live Earth and what did it mean to you to do that?
I will be totally honest, and it sounds like I almost couldn't believe it when it happened, but Al Gore literally called, like, they offered it to us. And we had other obligations at the time. We were already booked. And so we turned them down. We said, we would really, really, really love to do it, but we're booked. We want you to know we're in it for the long haul, though. If you need anything, we will do it. We will film stuff early.
Yeah.
We will do it next year. If you do another thing, we'll do it. Whatever it takes, we'll do it. But we just can't play this show. And Al Gore actually called us he organized a conference call and talked to us on the phone and said, guys, you don't understand how important this thing is.
The vice president calls and you had to answer. That's great.
We couldn't say no. I mean, you know, that's too flattering a situation. And he definitely had a great message, and they handled it well. I mean, I think there's a little bit of confusion in the beginning about, you know, what was it, a green concert? But I'll tell you from firsthand experience that our show was being powered by renewable energy. It was like wind and solar, and that's
awesome.
What powered the show. They had no parking. Like, you had to take public transportation or find some other way to get to the show. You know, stuff like that. It's like, that's what they did. They were thorough when it came to that show.
That's great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hands up like this. The song's called Bleed It Out. Yeah. Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. Hand grenade pins in every line. Throw them up and let something shine. Going out of my filthy mouth. No excuse. Find a new place to hang this. String me up from atop these roofs. Not a text, so I won't get. Truth is, you can stop and stare. Blow myself out, no one cares. Dug a trench out, lay down there with a shovel up, gotta reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pour it in, make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stuff it out when they bring that chorus in. I beat it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I beat it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I beat it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. Just to throw it away, just to throw it away. I beat it out, just don't stop the show. Words in a sloppy flow. Chucking rock or lock and low. Chuck it back and then watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed. Death is rolling in every verse. Can't depend on his brand new hearse. Can't contain him, he knows he works. This hurts, I won't lie. Doesn't matter how hard I try. Afterwards don't mean a thing. And I know that I won't be satisfied. So why try ignoring him? Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out. And then bring back all the sin. I bleed it out. Dig it deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out. Dig it deeper.
Just to throw it away, I beat it out, take it deeper, just to throw it away, I beat it out, take it deeper, just to throw it away, I beat it out.
thank you for listening to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. Please send questions and comments to podcast@10goldenrules.com. That is podcast@tengoldenrules.com.